Hey everybody, this is Dan Jarms and this is One Simple Truth. It is a podcast where we take one item of the week or the day and we apply God's all-sufficient word to it. We are today going to be talking about the Christian response to racial oppression. But first, grab your cup of coffee. My mug of the day is the Pottery Barn Suppertime White Collection, and the roast of the day is Thomas Hammer, Costa Rican. We're still working through it and like it. Now you got your cup of coffee. Let's hit this really important topic of the Christian response to racial oppression. First, let's get a definition of oppression that is biblical. Oppression is the harm or exploitation of a person who has no functional recourse to achieve justice. Let me say that again. Oppression is the harm or exploitation of a person who has no functional recourse to achieve justice. And the starting point for every Christian, regardless of their race, white, black, Asian, whatever, is this very important point. We were all oppressors. We were all oppressors, and Jesus was oppressed on our behalf. The very nature of the gospel acknowledges that we have oppressed, we have exploited or harmed, and this comes out very clearly in Isaiah 53, because it is through the oppression of Jesus that we were set free. So our sin, our shame, our judgment was placed on Jesus. Listen to how it is penned in Isaiah 53:7-8. He was oppressed. This is speaking of Jesus. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. That this is what Jesus did. So our sin was only removed because Jesus was oppressed. And now having that freedom from what is our guilt of sin and shame and the right judgment of wrath, having freedom from that, we move on then to do what God has made us to do. And remember, as we start this or we think about this, the Lord is the key defender of the oppressed. Across the pages of Scripture, we find the Lord as the defender. Psalm 103, verse 6, for instance, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So there is no oppression that will be undealt with by the judgment day. Every act of oppression will meet its appropriate punishment. And those who are oppressed and have a personal and saving relationship with Jesus Christ will one day find their reward with a Father who will care for them and shepherd them. Okay, how do we respond? As we look at from the gospel, from looking at the Lord and his model, there's three things I want to look at. First of all, personal response for oppression. Leviticus 6:1-7 speaks of what to do if a person comes to a sense of guilt because they have oppressed, they have exploited, they have harmed a person who has no recourse to find justice. So this is from Leviticus 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security, or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor, or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of all these things that the people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the thing lost or the thing found, anything about which he's sworn foundly, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth. Leviticus goes on to talk about the appropriate sacrifices that a person in that era and time under the Mosaic covenant was supposed to go and offer before the Lord. In our case, it would be, if there is personal oppression, then it would be a matter of proper restoration and repentance before the Lord, entrusting our forgiveness to the Lord Jesus. So there's a personal response to it. The second one we have to ask is about the political response to this. Remember that politics is the people speaking into a situation and acting together to achieve an end. And in this case, I want you to think about the Bible is written in a terms of a monarchy, and it had a theocracy at first under judges and priests, and then it had a monarchy. And so what I'm going to say about the king, it now has to be applied broadly to the ruler of our nation, which is the people. It is the people who are formed together, who elect representatives. So now, having said that, each of us in a democracy, as the people who have the power, the people who have the power have a responsibility to protect the oppressed. But listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 1. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. That's Isaiah 1:16 through 17. So it was expected of the people and the monarch to uphold the oppressed. As a matter of fact, it is the ruler's role, or the people who are in power who have the role of protecting the oppressed. There is no one else to do that for them, and this is God's heart. Speaking of Solomon, David wrote this, and this now carries its application all the way to the Messiah. But here was Solomon. What David prayed for him. May he defend the cause of the poor, of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. It was Solomon's role, the king's role, to make sure oppressors were brought to justice. And it in the role of a democracy, by abstraction, it is the people's role to make sure that oppressors are brought to justice. The way we do that in a democracy is we vote. We contact our representatives personally. We use civic and civil and Christian and godly, I would say, discourse. We can use peaceful assembly. Those are legal means under which our Constitution is written, in which we can express our wish. So that is if we see racial injustice, we can use all of those means and ought to use those means. And we could apply this across to many kinds of injustice. I'm speaking about racial injustice, but in Spokane we have sex trafficking. We have white on white injustice, black on black injustice, black on white injustice, white on white, white on black injustice. All of it has. However, in a place where the white population is the majority, they would have a responsibility, because the majority of power has the responsibility to watch out for the oppressed, not as a matter of superiority, but as God does us, as a matter of service. So this would be a responsibility in the political realm. So voting, contacting representatives, civic and civil discourse, peaceful assembly would be legal means appropriate to highlight if there is racial injustice that it would need to be corrected. Finally, I want to talk about policy. So we use political voice in a godly, Christ-honoring way to express concerns over policies. And in this case, with the excessive use of force used against both Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, what we have seen in the media and what we've seen recorded looks to be excessive use of force. And my perspective, as I've watched various news sources and news feeds, police departments across the country are working and extending themselves to address excessive use of force. And they are across the country extending themselves to allow peaceful assembly. So departments across the country are continually evaluating the proper use of force. But it is certain, as we look at both of those videos for Arbery and for Floyd, that those appear to be excessive use of force. And it doesn't matter if Arbery was seen leaving a construction site, even if he had been carrying an Amazon Smile package, which he wasn't, even if he had, there is no excuse for a citizen to use a deadly force to restrain a minor infraction. And I'm not saying that that was the case at all, but even if that's the case, even if Even if George Floyd was drunk, nothing would, or had any other issues, nothing would rise to the occasion of that kind of excessive force. And so we as citizens can call that out. And I would say we're just adding our voices to the very agencies in those cities, because they are crying out about those. Mayors, police departments are working on those, and we would ask for it quicker. So that would be a Christian response to this. Excessive force, white on white, black on black, white on black, all should be questioned. And this would be something you can use in civil ways. I do want to say this. One important guard for every one of us is that media has always a story to tell, and they're going to want to look for an interesting story, and it doesn't matter their political persuasion. So we always have to hold back some level of judgmentalness until the full investigative process is undergone. Both the media investigates and the law investigates, and so we should hold some level of objectivity. So as I say that, what's the Christian's role in response to racial oppression? Well, if we see racial oppression, we should use the means that the government has allowed for us to call that out and to hold our law enforcement accountable. Something, from my perspective, they want and they are eager to do, but we can make our voices heard. Thank you for joining us today on One Simple Truth. And if you would like to join us and subscribe to this on a regular basis, you can find these through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, and these can be delivered right to you when they're produced.